It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, isn't it? This side's glad to be here. This side, let me say that again. I knew the mic went on. I knew that. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
There you go. Y'all get me worried there a minute. Amen. It's so good to be here. So glad to have the Olson family here with us this morning. You know, it's a small world. We used to work together years ago, Greg's dad, and it's so good to have him and his family back with us today. Amen. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't you love our children? I tell you, when I was hearing one of the babies cry this morning or something, that's a beautiful sound. Amen. And you see how they were acting in the altar this morning? Wasn't that beautiful? You know, I love these little children. They're just what they are, you know, and God loves them. And you know, he tells us we got to come to him just like that. Amen. So I just love our children, appreciate everything that they contribute to our service. How many of you know they do contribute to our service? Amen. All right, let's go back to the book of Hebrews this morning. We want to continue our study on when believing is not enough. And I'll tell you, the Lord is really carrying me deep into this. And I just thank him for that. I thank him for his word. Because it's important that we understand believing is more than what we think it is sometimes, because I believe there's a lot of frustrations today in the body of Christ and in the world when it comes to receiving what God has for us. And so we begin to break it down. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we read that. It says, now. That's a very powerful word, now. God's a God of the now. God's a God that activates his promises and power for us now. God's alive now. God is a God that wants to be a part of your life right now. He's not a historical God. You know, many times when people refer to God as what he used to do, what he did before, what he did back in whatever time it is. He did that then, but how many of you know he's God right now too? I thank God for what he did yesterday. But I need him now. I know he's going to do great things in the future, but I need him now. So the writer of Hebrews begins to describe to us, and as you read Hebrews chapter 11, it really is like a hall of fame, or we call it hall of faith, where great people who operated in the area of faith, and faith's always been that mystery to a lot of us because we wonder sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, if we will ever capture the vision of ministering to those that are frustrated, we'll fill our churches up. I believe that God has me here for a purpose and for a season. And in that purpose, I really believe that one of the reasons that God has brought me here is that we could look at the Word and be encouraged in the Word that God is a God that wants to carry us out of the box. And we've been talking about that a lot. But God wants to carry us out of the box into newer depths with him, and to learn more about ourselves and to learn more about him. And certainly faith is a way to do that. So it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, go on to verse 11, because that's the one we want to talk about this a little bit this morning. We begin to break it down that there's stages of faith. Because we already alluded to the fact that believing is when we just yield our heart and say, okay, God, I know you can do it. I know God is able to do it, but then the next part is the frustrating part, but will he do it for me? How many of you are struggling? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are struggling in some area today? How many of you are going through something in your life today and you really, really need God to do something in your life, but then there's that doubt figure in there that says, well, I don't know if you're good enough. I don't know. And let me tell you, one of the most heart-wrenching things about church is, and I want to tell you something, if we're going to be successful, and I don't want to lose you because I feel God leading me in this message today, I feel his anointing in here today, and I thank him for that, but if we're going to be successful as a church, then we got to rethink our whole purpose. Amen? Let that sink in just a minute. If we're going to be successful, we got to rethink our whole purpose, our whole existence for being here, because I want to tell you, a lot of people today are struggling, and a lot of church people are struggling, and how many of you know that our God is big enough to handle your struggle? I believe that. I know that. I'm a testimony of that. there's an impossible situation and the doctors don't know what to do, there is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you think or even ask. Amen. And God wants us to share that message with the world. But there's some things we got to get through. You know, we were talking about stages of faith. Believing, there's got to be more. When believing is not enough, God, I believe, but I'm still frustrated. God, I believe, but I'm discouraged. God, I believe, but I'm still sick. God, I believe, but I don't see nothing happening. Does that mean God's not doing it? Does that mean God's not big enough? No, we know the answer is no to that. But then what else we got to do? Well, I believe there's stages. And I think the stage part there, the stages, is where we have missed it. It's easy to say, just believe. You remember I said the other day, when you're going through something and you're really hurting and your heart's really broken, it almost makes you aggravated when somebody comes up and says, well, brother, I'm just praying for you, just believe. And walk off like, man, you ought to be able to handle that. You ought to be able to just take care of that. And you're saying, hey, I'm trying to believe. And we all, listen, we all get discouraged. And the discouragement part, stay with me now, is the serious part. Because when we're in that realm right there, that's the part right there, we can give up. We can quit. I ain't going back to church no more. You know why a lot of people don't come to church anymore? Because when they came, they had problems and they were frustrated and they left more frustrated because somebody says, well, when you get all your junk right, then God will do something for you. Amen. When you get cleaned all up, when everything's done, well, you know, hey, if I could do all that, I wouldn't need God. Amen. Y'all going to be real quiet on me today. That's okay. Amen. I'm ready. I didn't preach last Sunday, so I'm ready today. I mean, amen. So God began to show me there's different stages. He said, the reason you're frustrated, because you need to listen. So the first stage we begin to talk about is hearing. And you know, I go back and I say, well, God said, you said, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so the first stage that I want to talk about is hearing, and you can put right along hearing is listening. And Sarah, look at verse 11. Why, I tell you, I'm so full this morning, I'm kind of like a racehorse, got to kind of hold myself back. It says, through faith. Now, through is a very powerful word there because it brings about understanding. By her understanding faith, listen. When Sarah herself conceived, she received strength. When she conceived, she received strength. Read that. I told you last week, that's your homework. Don't raise your hand. How many didn't do your homework? You're going to stay at the class today. I'm preaching 30 more minutes. Amen. 30 more minutes because you didn't do your homework. Amen. She received strength. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. Receive. She knew God was able. You know, Isaac's name is laughter because, you know, when God said, hey, we're going to do this. Yeah, right. Hey, God. Let me clear you up on some things. You see the old goat over there hung over? He can't even see me because he's 100 years old. I'm 90. You know, God, come on now. Get with the program. And God said, hey, how many times have we told God that now? We laugh, but God says, you know, I can do. Oh, yeah, God, I know you can. God, I ain't doubting your credibility at all, but I don't know if it's for me. Let me tell you something. Everything in the Word is for you. And I'm going to throw something in here real quick because I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good He is. Amen. He's an awesome God. Now stay with me. So it said, through faith also Sarah herself conceived strength. I love that. She gained strength. Now, I want you to put a bookmark there, and I want to go all the way back to the book of Matthew. I want to teach you something out of Matthew this morning. I want you to understand that that we go through process. Write that word down or put it in your mind. Process. For me to believe, it is a process. It is a process. And I want you to understand, Book of Hebrews says in verse 1, it says, now. I want you to think back just a minute. Your first concept of God and Jesus and all of that. Your first concept of church, your first concept of anything with God was not relationship. It was doing stuff. Amen? It was doing stuff. Now, I went back and I began to think about how I was first introduced to God. You know, when we're first introduced to God, there's almost a fear, because I don't know if you were raised up like I was raised, but when I begin to describe who God was, it was do this, don't. Amen. You can do this, can't do that. Do this, don't do that. Oh, you did that. You shouldn't have done that. You know, and so you just go around, hey, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not good enough to do this. So a lot of people just give up. One of the worst things about church today, is it all right if we just let God lead me this morning and give you what? How many wants to hear what He's got to say today? Amen. One of the worst things about church is when people say, I'm not good enough to go to that church. Or, when I get myself straight, then I'm going to go to church. How many of you know we as church leaders have messed up? We have missed it. Church is for people who are not good enough. Amen. And we present to the world, well, when you get everything in line. And how many of you know everybody in here don't have everything in line? You remember years ago, and I'm not one for telling anything about preachers or bashing preachers. I'm not into all that because I believe what goes around comes around. But you remember years ago when all these ministries starting to be revealed. God was pulling back the curtain, and all of a sudden you found out these great televangelists and all this kind of stuff. You begin to see what their life really was. And you remember how discouraged everybody got and how everybody, you know why God did that? Now thank God, God done a healing and a restoration and all of that, and because that's what God does. But you know why God did that? Because men are not good enough to do this. That's the reason God does not like us or want us to judge anybody. But the one of the worst places you're going to be judged is church. Amen. There's more attitudes in church than Carter's got liver pills. Amen? There's attitudes. And you know what? We gained all that through our concept. Let's think about concept. Think about really. Forget about who's around you. Forget about everything. What is your concept of God? And most of us were raised with a fear that I'm going to mess up, or maybe a word would slip out, or maybe a thought would go through our mind that wasn't right, and we just gave up because we say, hey, I'm not good enough. But how many of you know God loves us beyond who we are? Amen? So God led me to Matthew. And there's something about God I want you to get. Forget about how you were trained. Forget about what you learned. Forget about all that for just a second. Erase all that. And let's go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first books of the New Testament, and they were a portrait, they were an explanation of who Christ was. Basically, that was a synopsis of Jesus Christ. We know Jesus was God incarnated in the flesh, so we know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God gave us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to show us who God really is. And when you read those books and you learn those books, you know what the word that comes out of your vocabulary is? Relationships. God is a God of relationships. He's not a God of do, don't, do, don't. I can't even hardly say it, you know. Because how many of you know the ones that are saying, pointing their finger at you? Stay with me now. Don't worry about what they're having for buffet today. Just stay with me. Amen. You need this. Look at the one beside of you. You need to hear this. Look at them. Say it with attitude. You need to hear this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ones that point their fingers got more problems than you do. Amen. My wife is having a fit right now. When I preach like this, blame it on God, honey. Blame it on, she's 50. Dad, they're going to hate you. They're going to, well, you know. She worries about that stuff. Amen. She's over there, oh, my God. She's put up with this mess for over 36 years. Amen. Blame it on God, honey. Don't blame it on me. Can I stay with some of y'all this afternoon? But I began to think about how I felt. When I went to church, I was most time I'd leave condemned. Because I never felt good enough. How many of you know when you get to a point, you just give up? How many of you know there's a lot of people, good people, not in church today? Good people. How many of you know there's a lot of people got hurt in church? Amen. I could probably ask you to raise your hand. If you've ever been hurt in church, you'd raise your hand. And you know why? Why? Because what somebody said, or what somebody did, or what somebody thought, and it came back and it hurt your feelings. Anybody here ever had your feelings hurt? Well, I want to tell you something. Church should never be a place where you get your feelings hurt. It should be a place where you can bring your feelings to. Amen. God carried us to the book of Matthew. Matthew was the writer. He was the author of Matthew, so he's basically writing a book of himself. And let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 9, and Matthew's given a recording here of his account with Jesus, and it says, and you really want to get a real impact, read the NIV version. I didn't bring mine with me this morning, but I'm reading King James Version. But anyhow, it just brings out a different light. But it said, look at verse 9. Jesus passed through. When Jesus was passing through, he basically saw, if you read the NIV version, it says that Matthew was sitting in a booth. Now, I want you to understand, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, we've heard that, those of us studied. But I want to carry a little bit deeper than that. What it meant was, see, Rome would allow people to auction or would allow people, give people the privilege to auction. In other words, when Rome would take all their taxes that they wanted, they would allow people to auction or to bid, and they would become a tax collector. And once Rome got all the taxes they wanted, then these people who won the bid could go and they could tax you even more. So Matthew was a Jewish tax collector who was taxing his own people for the benefit of Rome. So you understand a little bit. In other words, they looked at him as a traitor. Now, one thing that really disgusts us today as our society is for somebody to sell a teenage child or young child drugs. You know, you've heard about that. That they were in the back of the school selling drugs. Well, that's a disgusting person. I want you to understand that tax collecting in this area was even more disgusting than that, because basically you were trading your own people. Rome said, I'm going to get this. Then you came in behind Rome and said, oh, I'm going to get even more than that. So they taxed everything. There was water tax, food tax, tax on tax, you know, tax on air. You're breathing. Let me tax that. Amen. You know, so your eyes are blue, I'm going to tax you for that. I mean, they tax everything. And the problem was, listen, the problem was that they didn't have it. So the heart was gone out of these people. And so tax collectors, you know, as you read on in here, and I don't have time to read it all, but as you read on in there, there's Jesus, and we're going to read it in just a minute. But it's 9, 10, and 11. You need to read that this week. 9, 10, 11. But it said Jesus was sitting with the tax collectors and sinners. So sinners were saying, hey, I might be a sinner, but I'm not a tax collector. Amen. So that was so that's basically what they were saying. But what it was, what I'm trying to paint the picture to you is that they were burdening the people, overbearing the people, and just breaking the people down. And Matthew was that kind of person. And as you read about them, they were always to themselves because nobody else would be around them. Nobody else wanted anything to do with them because they brought such oppression. And I want to tell you this. When the church gets to the point, you need to listen to me. When the church gets to the point that we oppress more than we release, something's wrong. Amen. When there's such a heaviness of you're not right, you're not good enough, you don't look right, you don't wear your hair right, you don't wear your clothes right, you're not, you can't be one of us, then I'm going to tell you something, we're no better than Matthew was. Are you with me so far? Amen. You know, I just want you to get this. I'm going to take my time because I want you to get this. So Jesus here in verse 9 looks to Matthew and says, follow me. Follow me. I want you to let that sink in just a minute. Here's Jesus. Now you got to think about it. The disciples were with him. And as disciples were with him, they're sitting there because you got Peter there and you got all these other guys there. And they have a problem with Jesus. Jesus didn't do things like they think he ought to be, like they thought he always ought to do it. So they had problems with him. You want to know why church people get mad at preachers? Because we don't always do it the way you think it ought to be doing. Now I'm going to say this to you. It's all about concept. It's all about concept. Last week it tore some people's nerves up. Because we didn't have communion. What? Amen. Now, look right straight. Don't say nothing. But here, I'm trying to make a point this morning. Some people's attitudes will change in a heartbeat over a preacher because he don't do what they think he ought to do. Oh, I can tell you. How you doing this morning? I'm good. Looking all around. I'm good. I've been doing this stuff a long time, y'all. You better be careful how you talk to me. Amen. And the disciples were like that. They couldn't understand it. And you know, if you read in there, and I don't have time to read it, but they would leave him for a few minutes. I can just see them right now. I mean, it's so funny. They trying to stay with Jesus. So, Jesus, we part of the posse, buddy. We're going to be right with you. We're right with you. And Jesus starts saying, hey, Matthew, me and you friends, come on, follow me. What? Jesus, do you know what he is? He's not even a sinner. He's a tax collector. And you read in there a lot of times, and it said, and the Pharisees, see, they followed Jesus, but they followed him afar off. But a couple of times you'll see where the disciples are talking to the Pharisees. So that tells me they have left Jesus for a few minutes. And they're over here talking. Well, why do y'all think he's doing that? I don't know. You know, we done hired that crazy preacher in here. And I don't know why. You know, we already missed the Sunday. Didn't even have communion. I don't like him no more. Amen. Amen. I don't like him no more. Jesus told me to have communion, praise the God, and I don't like you no more. It don't go together. Something's wrong there. Amen. Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
Somebody said, oh, I don't know about that. Here's the point I'm trying to make. And I'm so glad God allows this to be comical in a way, because this is hard preaching right here. This is tough stuff. Because we don't like to hear preaching like this, because this is where we live. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like change nothing. I don't like change. But I've learned if I follow him, I got to change some stuff. And I've learned I got to change some things in me. And you know, that really bothers me because I thought I had it all together. Amen. Look at the one beside him and say, you don't have it all together. Go ahead. This is your free chance. You, some of you men so scared. Honey, I'm just saying it because the preacher said it, okay? Amen. Amen. They got the baby stirred up. Amen. I got to get on with this thing. The next, in verse 10, here's what Jesus says to Matthew. It says, Matthew, I want to go home and eat with you. You remember he did the same thing with Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was in the tree. You remember that? Now you got to understand, Jesus didn't just put this stuff in the Bible because it sounded good, or I need another chapter, what can I do? You know, he put it in there because of the purpose. Jesus, the Son of God, actually God incarnated in the flesh, the one who spoke the word into existence, is now standing in a form of a body, and he's looking at Matthew, and he says, Matthew, come follow me. Now, as you read in there, the translation there, it says he got up and followed. Now, we all know there's got to be more to it than that. You got to understand there's more to it than that. And some preachers preach, just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. Well, I'm trying. But there's some things I don't understand. Am I where we live this morning? I'm trying to do God's will, but I don't understand all about God's will. So sometimes I don't know what to do. So how many of us, when we don't know what to do, we just don't do nothing? Amen? And that's where believing is not enough. Because I can believe myself right into hell. I can believe myself right into doubt and unbelief. I can believe but not follow through with it. So Jesus comes to Matthew as a point to us to say, God, whosoever will, he loves everybody. He didn't love him being a deceiver. He didn't love him doing what he did. He don't love the homosexuals as far as what they do. He don't love the murderer as far as what they do. But he loves their heart. Amen? And the worst thing we do is categorize ourselves. I mean, well, what denomination are you? Well, I need to know this before I can talk to you. Amen? I need to see your credentials. And then we got that crowd out there who ain't got a denomination. I mean, I had somebody ask me, well, what is your belief? I'm a Christian. No. What church you go to? Northview Baptist Church. Baptist? What kind of Baptist? There's a Northern Baptist, Southern Baptist, Eastern Baptist, Western Baptist, Up Baptist, Down Baptist, Around the Tree Baptist. Which Baptist are you? Well, some days, depending on what day it is. Amen. Some days I know where I'm at. Some days I don't know where I'm at. Brother Bob, amen. You know, we're all worried about that. We can't, you know, and I'm not kicking the denomination or anything today, but I'm just saying we get caught up in listening. Listen to me. I said the first part of walking with God is believing. Now, we got that. But the next part is listening. And here's the problem we have. We listen to everybody else. And the worst thing we can do sometimes is when we're seeking God's will on something, we start asking people. Now, there's nothing wrong with godly counsel, but you got to know if it's godly counsel. Because there's some people that say, Sarah, I'm going to keep going back and forth here because, you know, I'm talking about both things. Sarah, you need to realize, girl, how old you are. And you need to realize you can't have, you see, faith comes by hearing, by listening to God. And when you are trying to believe, what does God say? I've had people come to me and say, what do you think? I said, well, what does God say? Well, I don't know. I'm confused. I said, well, that right there, we know confusion is not of God. You need to listen because God's got a will. How many of you know God's got a will in everything we do? Everything we do. God had a will when he sent Jesus to go to Matthew's house. Matthew was a tax collector. Lower than a sinner. And Jesus said, I want to go to your house. And when he got to his house, guess who was there? More tax collectors. Because they couldn't eat nowhere else. Amen. Like the woman at the well. She was there at the midday hour by herself because none of the church women would talk to her. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling this truth about church stuff. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus went to Matthew's house. And look, I'm going to tell you, I prayed about that thing for a couple of days. I'm going to tell you something. Me and Teresa have been through a lot in the last this past week. I went over 40 hours with no sleep. Our baby, our grandbaby, had some problems. You know, God intervened. I'm so glad that I serve a God that I got a relationship with. Amen. It's not a matter, well, let me get my book of did I do this right? Did I do that right? Did I do this right? You know, before God can know, I serve a God that loves me in spite of who I am. Amen. Oh, I don't have no part of that religion, preacher, that you can just do anything you want to do. Let me tell you something. When you really love God, you won't do anything you want to do. You'll do what He wants you to do. Amen. And Jesus went and He fellowshiped, and the Lord began to teach me something right there. He began to teach me something right there. Stay with me now. It's not enough to believe. You got to listen. Pharisees say, change, and you can join us. Change, and you can join us. Jesus says, join us, and you'll change. Amen. We walk around with the 10-pound Bibles under our arms, and we're all that in a bag of chips, and we're nothing without Him. And if the devil ever comes to your minds and starts telling you to judge somebody, be very careful. Be very careful. Because I'm going to tell you something I've learned. What goes around comes around. And every one of us go through a level of judging. And let's be honest. I mean, I used to walk in when my mom was alive. Now, some of y'all might like Young and Arrested, Day of Our Lives, and all that kind of stuff. Now, I know he ain't going to preach there. I ain't going to mess with it. But I used to go in there, my mama, you know, she worked second shift, and I'd get off work sometime, and I'd go see her around lunchtime, and she'd be just all upset. Mom. And I'd be sitting there, you know, because it was a rule. Don't talk to me when Young and the Rest is over. Don't talk to me. Amen. And so I'd sit there. And she'd be on the phone, so she could explain to me. She could talk to somebody else. She could talk to me. Amen. But I'm sitting there, and I said, Mama, who in the world got killed? Oh, that's my story. I said, oh, my Lord. But she'd be bent all out of shape, you know, because of that. And it just tickles me because, you know, we're creatures of what we listen to. Amen.
Amen.
And if you listen to the wrong voices. We're talking about faith. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a nation. Can you imagine the heart of those people whose families was on that plane that just vanished? Can you imagine the heart of the families who got a call and say, your son, your daughter was involved in that mudslide? They pulled a little baby's body out of there the other day. My heart is broken. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that if we get everything right, we can eliminate all the heartaches and pains? No. I wish we could say that, but no. But I can say this, that we can give people hope. I want to tell you something right now. Just because you got problems, and just because you're a sinner, and we don't like to use that word sinner anymore, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know anybody in here that is perfect. Every one of us in here go through things. And I'm going to tell you, the devil has got into churches and made us feel like that we're so much better than everybody else. And we know we're not. We all got problems. Amen? We all got shortcomings, and we all talk too much, and we all say things we shouldn't say, and we all got habits, and we all got things that we have to deal with. Amen? And you don't scare God when you have to deal with it. He knows. He knows you don't. I'm going to tell you something. Unbelief does not push you away from God to the point that He can't come in and be your God. What does that mean? Every one of us struggle with unbelief at times. But aren't you glad when you're struggling, He don't leave you? I know it's been a little comical this morning, but Jesus went to Matthew and He said, Matthew, follow me. And when He told us to follow Him, it's more than just following Him. It's listening to Him. And the first thing He wants us to understand above all other things is this relationship. God's a God of relationship. And just because you got problems, He doesn't eliminate you from His love. Let me tell you something. There is no sin, no habit, no whatever that will separate you from the love of God. He loves you. And the worst thing we can do is when somebody's hurting, is to begin to judge them by how they look. And look, we're all guilty of that. Amen? We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of something. But the thing I feel God is saying to us, I said, Lord, why do you lead me to preach a sermon like this? Because I believe it in Northview, there's some people here that really want this church to grow. They really, really, really want this church to be what all. I believe there's people here that really want this church to be everything God wants it to be. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe there's some of you guys that have sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed just to keep doors open. Amen. And how many of you know there's people that come and there's people that go? And it hurts you when they go. But how many of you believe there's enough people in our city who their hearts are broken and they're going through hard times and they need somewhere that's just going to love? Amen. And Jesus is sitting there and He loved Matthew. And look, we're reading a Bible. We're reading out of a chapter in the Bible, a book in the Bible that is named after Matthew. How awesome is God? How awesome is that? He looked beyond our faults. There used to be a song out like that. I forgot who wrote it, but He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And I just got to believe that there's somebody in this congregation this morning who needs something. Who needs something? Oh, I know we can't present it to nobody that we need nothing. We can't look like we need nothing. We got to have the look. You know what I'm talking about? We get prayer requests. Nobody raise their hand because I'm scared somebody might see me. Because I don't want to present to anybody that I need nothing. And then there's that. I'm going to shut up in just a minute. And then there's that part right there that says, you know, isn't it weakness if I really say I need something? No. Because it's about relationship. Now, how many of you today have had relationships with people that as long as you've done everything they wanted you to do, it was good? But the minute you didn't do something they wanted you to do, they left you. Any of y'all ever had somebody's done time me. It's going off. I'm trying. Hit the snooze button. Trying to quit. But when things didn't go right, they left you. I'm going to tell you something. It's all about listening. It's all about listening. When I grew up, I didn't get a lot of love, and I'm not going to be one of them people that blame everything on my daddy and all. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to say atmosphere has a lot to do with it, of stuff you have to overcome. And I never felt I was good enough. When you're a little child and you're told you're never going to be nothing, you're never going to be, and I have inferiority that I deal with to this day. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm glad I serve a God who loves me enough to sit down with me if he needs to, or walk with me if he needs to, or cry with me if he needs to, but he never leaves me. And I believe that Northview has the goods. You say, well, why can't we never get no people? Why can't we never get no people? Well, I look at it like this. Are we interested in just getting a bunch of people? Well, if we do that, we can have gospel scenes and feed them hot dogs, and we can fill it up. We can fill the place up. Or is it about following him? And when I follow him, I'm going to touch somebody on my job. I'm going to touch somebody in Walmart. I'm going to touch somebody, and eventually somebody's going to say, where do you go to church? I've had a lot of people tell me that lately. Where do you go to church? I'm telling you something. God's in this place, and you be encouraged. I know some of you have been discouraged. And you say, well, it's just, you know, we get a new preacher, everybody's excited for a day or two, and then it goes right back like it was. But I hope, praying, I'll be crazy enough that you got to at least come back and see what he's going to do next. Amen? I don't really like him, but he's just so crazy, I just want to go see what he's going to do next. Amen? We're going to grow. Let me tell you how I know we're going to grow. We're going to grow because God is here. Does anybody here believe that God is here if you are raising him? And when he's in the midst, somebody's going to come. Jesus, do you realize you're sitting with sinners and you're sitting, and you know what Jesus says? I'm going to close with this. Jesus says, the people that are well don't need a doctor. Now you got to understand, Matthew is in the room while Jesus is talking. Have you ever heard somebody talking about you? You in the room? Hey, I'm in the room. Come on. And Jesus tells them, they say, why are you doing all this? Well, people that are well don't need no doctor. But people that are sick need a physician. I see Matthew. Oh, no, he didn't. Hey, Jesus! Matthew! Got on my shirt! Matthew! You know, I see Matthew, and I'm reading the whole book of the Bible that he wrote, so evidently it got through to him. Ooh, I feel God in this place. He says, Jesus, that kind of offends me, but it's the truth. I am sick. And I need you. I need you. I'm sick. And I don't know if you're here this morning, you're sick. And what that means is you need something. But when you recognize that you need something, he'll be there. Jesus is kind of highly offensive that you told everybody, put my business on the street, saying that I am sick. You know what? Now that I get over my attitude, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm hearing what you're saying. And I believe, I believe I can be better. You know, I begin to look and I say, Lord, there's a lot of areas of my life, Lord, I need to lay down. I need to lay them down and give them to you because I'm sick. This morning, I'm asking you to stand to your feet. And I want to give an altar call this morning for people who want, first of all, Northview to be everything God wants it to be. But then secondly, that God would help us learn to create an atmosphere that people that are sick could come and find healing. Anyone that come help me pray, I want you to come right now to the altar. Let's just have a closing prayer in the altar this morning. Everybody that will, if you'll come play something for us this morning. Everyone that will. Lord, I need you. If you need him this morning in a greater way, I want you to come. Lord, I need him. Lord, I need you. Lord, we thank you this morning. Service today, and we dedicate this service into your name, Father. We ask you, Lord, this word would not return void, but it would accomplish what it's been set out to do today. Lord, I pray, God, that every heart that's here today, whether it be broken or whatever they may be going through, God, that we may recognize that you're a God that loves us and we can believe. But yet, Lord, when we struggle in our belief, you don't turn your back on us and walk away. You stand there with us and you bring us through. God, sometimes we have to listen because we absolutely do not know what to say. But God, I'm so glad there's a still small voice that loves us unconditionally and will take us through. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you do and everything you are. And we honor you and praise you today. And God, I thank you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You're going to release, oh God, those of this church that need to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. Amen.